Blog Talk Radio.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
You've heard about it. You've read about it. You've talked about it. And now, you've found it. This is Truth About Trucking Live on Blog Talk Radio, the largest radio social network in the world, with your host, Alan Smith. It's time to shut down that big rig, sit back, and come join the conversation. Truth About Trucking Live begins right now.
And welcome back to the show, everyone. Today is Thursday, July 3rd, 2014. Big three-day weekend coming up for a lot of people, but not for the truckers, of course, obviously, but still a weekend. Appreciate you tuning into the show. Anything Goes Trucking Open Forum this evening, where you, the caller, decides on what we talk about. We put up some suggestions up there, truck driver health, sleep apnea, driver image, truck idling, detention time, wages. That is a big thing, and here with me, of course, is my co-host, Donna. And, Donna, that wages and detention time, that seems to be a pretty big thing going on.
Yeah, right now, like, there's a big debate going on, especially about a potential mandate for detention time, and you've got, you know, just about half people wanting it, the other half not, just they just don't trust the government to include something that would be beneficial for drivers. So it's kind of a hot topic. I think pretty much, you know, everything's a hot topic right now. Hours of service and ELDs, they just closed the comment section on that on the 26th. So there's a lot of issues. Then we have our health issues that, you know, we were going to have the month of June as truck driver health. Then we got into a couple of other things, so we're going to have to, you know, push that off till July. But we haven't forgotten about it. I know a lot of people are interested in it. But I'll try to bring something up tonight about the truck driver health.
Well, I see you're on your another phone.
That's Dee. She's listening on my cell phone.
Oh, okay. So, Dee, you want to come on the show? She's shaking her head. Okay. So I see that on my thing. So I thought you were over there because I can't see you over there. So, all right. Well, we'll just see where the show leads as we go, you know. And just before a beautiful day here in Citrus County, Florida, and then 5 minutes before the show, I see lightning and thunder rumbling out there. So same thing that happened last week, Donna, but we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, last week, if you remember, we got cut off. And it's funny because even if we get cut off, as long as, I forgot how it works, something's going.
As long as, you know, everybody keeps, I mean, it's still streaming. So, you know, if somebody's there on the call line and they're talking, show keeps going, I just have to dial back in.
Okay, well, that's what happened. And, of course, nobody even missed us. They were just carrying on in the, you know, talking back and forth about the issues. And then when we got back on, they're still talking.
Yeah, they didn't even know we were gone. That makes you feel good as a host, you know. So. But, hey, that's what it's all about, open forum. And, you know, it is a big weekend coming up. A lot of drivers out there driving. We'll just see how the callers go. Listeners on the line there in the chat room, appreciate you tuning in. And we'll just see how it goes. Anything Goes Trucking Open Forum is the topic this evening. And, Donna, I understand we're giving away a Tony Justice CD.
Yes, we have one more Tony Justice Apple Pie Moonshine CD. I'm going to post the question in the chat room. To get to the chat room, you just have to click on the show link from our Facebook page that we've been posting and Twitter. I think it's on Twitter, too. So you just click on that, and you can answer the question. And the question, actually, I'll tell you what. You think we should, you know, post the question now plus write it down?
Post it in the chat, you mean?
Yeah, but announce it over here, too.
You can,
and
then as more guests, you know, logins come in the chat room, you'll have to post it again because I think when when they first come into the chat room, they can only see what's been posted in the chat room from that point on.
Okay, so
but
you
we'll
need,
keep an eye out.
Yeah, you need to. Okay, they're coming in the chat room now. So what you need to do is get in the chat room and then just hurry up and create a login and password so that you can write, because if not, you'll just be able to read what's going on in the chat room and not be a part of the chat. So it's pretty easy. I'm looking here. It's on your top right. I think you just click on create an account, and you can be a part of winning that CD. So I'm going to announce the question, and then I'll post it in the chat room also. The question is, who is the MC for Overdrive's Trucker Talent Search? And that's going on in GATS in August, in Dallas. And we'll tell you more about it in the announcements. But right now we want to know Overdrive's Red Eye Radio Trucker Talent Search and who is the MC this year for that event. Okay, so let me get typing in the chat room because I got to type it now for everybody
all
in
right.
there.
All right, so that's the question?
That's the question.
All right, so we will get rolling here, and I still hear that thundering out there. We'll see how it goes. So anyway, take a quick break. We'll be right back with this Anything Goes Trucking Open Forum, and it's all coming up on Truth About Trucking Live.
You're listening to Truth About Trucking Live on Blog Talk Radio. Alan Smith will be right back.
Hey everybody, Alan Smith here with Truth About Trucking Live on Blog Talk Radio. Have you been driving a big rig for a while now and considering starting your own business as an owner-operator? Well, Lone Mountain Truck Leasing offers the best lease purchase plan in the industry. With a small down payment and monthly payments around $1,000 or less, you make the monthly payment, and when the final payment is made, they hand over the title. It really is that simple. There is no big balloon payment at the end, and secondly, the truck is yours, not a lease plan under one truck and company. So if becoming an owner-operator is your goal, do it the right way. Do it the best way. Contact Lone Mountain Truck Leasing on the web at lonemountaintruck.com or give them a call toll-free at 866-512-5685. That's lonemountaintruck.com. And be sure to tell them that you heard about them on Truth About Trucking Live.
Hey, ready, Porter?
Man, it's crowded tonight. Care if I join you?
Sure, have a seat. Sorry about the paperwork. Name's Cole.
Appreciate it. I'm Harlan, by the way.
Here's a fill-up for you guys.
Thanks, honey.
Harlan, you look hungry. What can I get you?
I'll have a Coke and whatever he's having.
Back in a bit.
What are you doing with all this paperwork, driver? Looks like you're tripping over your trip sheets.
Want to get a jump on these taxes before they jump me.
There is a better way to manage your trucking paperwork. With TripSheetCentral.com, you're a login away from tracking every aspect of your business. TripSheetCentral.com organizes your information easily so you can see how your business is performing.
That sounds easy.
And it's fast. Time-consuming paperwork is eliminated with a low-cost monthly subscription. I no longer have to worry about invoices, settlement reports, or fuel tax returns. TripSheetCentral.com does that for me. Manage your business information securely with TripSheet Central. Visit TripSheetCentral.com at your next stop.
This is Truth About Trucking Live with Alan Smith. To be a part of the program, call in now at 347-826-9170. Skype users can call in by clicking on the Skype button on our show page. To be a sponsor of the show, email Donna at info@truthabouttrucking.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back. Anything Goes Trucking Open Forum. And, you know, Donna, we have quite a few listeners on the line right now, nobody with their hands up. Some of them still coming into the chat room. See MAS07, she finally made it in here. You know, it is a big weekend, big holiday weekend coming up, and, you know, majority of our listeners, of course, are drivers. They are driving. We don't want them calling in when they're driving. But I was going to point out, I didn't know if you were in the chat room or not, but MAS07 popped up in there.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's good to see her again. So you got that posted up for the CD giveaway, right?
Yep, I have it in there. And I'll say it again, who's going to be the MC at the Overdrive Trucker Talent at GATS this August? And it doesn't look like I'm going to end up having to give a hint, but that's okay. We'll do it a little later. We'll keep announcing it during the show. I guess we can just start in. We were doing our health shows in June, and we kind of got...
You know, before we do that, I have an announcement, too.
Oh, yes. Okay,
you
ahead.
I forgot all about it. You're over there just ready to roll.
I know.
Yeah, and, it might be, some of them might know and everything, but if you have heard, Donna and I will be attending the Industry at the Industry at Sea Conference. And, of course, that's the one that's hosted by the Small Business and Transportation Coalition. And the Industry at Sea event conference is a networking event to bring together trucking professionals from, all areas of the industry, property brokers, freight forwarders and shippers, carriers, motor carriers, agents, and truck drivers, owner-operators, independents. So this is the second year that the Industry at Sea has been taking place. It's a three-day cruise on the Royal Caribbean Enchantment of the Sea going to Nassau, Bahamas, with a stop off at their private island, Coco Cay. And so it can be a lot of fun, but it'll be a lot of work as well. So it's an event to promote the transparency business model among all parties of the industry. And Donna, that's something we've been talking about a lot, too, the transparency, but this event, that's kind of what they're really promoting and focusing on this year.
Well, it's an emphasis with partnerships in the industry. Instead of everybody like brokers against drivers and shippers against brokers and, how all that goes on, and it's actually sitting down, being transparent, and creating partnerships and realizing that everybody needs a fair shake in this industry. Everybody wants to make a profit, and it shouldn't have to come at the expense of any other segment in the process. So we're really looking forward to this. The basic of it is, pretty much it reminded us, actually, of the Truck Driver Social Media Convention, how we always spoke about honesty and transparency, and this is an extension involving the entire industry. So we were pretty excited to be a part of this. The other part, too, is that we'll be able to speak with a representative of the FMCSA and try to, probably won't have a lot of time, however, to address some of the major issues that drivers are concerned with. So we're looking forward to that also. But we're pretty excited. James Lamb, who is hosting the event, was supposed to call in tonight. His flight got delayed going to New York, and he sent us a private message saying, I'll be up in the air during the show. But
James Lamb, is he the president of the SBTC as well, too, right?
Yes.
And he's the volunteer president for the AIPBA, I'm just sitting here. I got distracted by that
lightning.
By that
you just
thunder.
Saw that lightning?
And he's
I
also,
know. I'm kind of like shaking over here.
I know. He's James Lamb. He's also the volunteer president of the AIPBA, the Association of Independent Property Brokers and Agents. But this is the second year he's put on the Industry at Sea event. And I think the transparency thing is a good, Donna and I and truthabouttrucking.com and Ask the Trucker, we've been promoting this transparency deal, and ethical business practices and an overall trust, respect, relationship, partnership between all parties of the industry since Truth About Trucking hit the internet in the year 2000. So I think it's a good deal, and, we all know how, drivers feel about brokers, And this will give a chance for drivers to actually meet and greet and socialize and network with brokers and vice versa, you know, to get to know the human aspects of both sides. And I think that's important, you know, Donna, because, you know, every other business works in a fairly decent, trusting, you know, aspect, but it's this fighting and bickering among drivers and brokers. I think if people can meet, get to know one another outside of that business element, that can mean a lot. You can put more of a human aspect on things.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing, too, as part of the event, it's going to have a segment explaining the rate transparency that James has been, that new paradigm he first brought into, in MATS, I think it was, in March, he brought up and had a seminar over there, and a lot of people came by, and the idea that if an owner-operator knows up front how much that rate is going to be that the broker gets, that they'll be more apt to go with them. Now, I know logistics.com has already embraced that thought, and they are rate transparent now. So, you know, you book a load and you know right up front what it pays or how much the broker's getting, and there's no, you know, bickering and back and forth. I mean, it's right there in the open. And so this is a very new concept, and a lot of people aren't comfortable with it because they don't really understand it. Anything new is difficult to comprehend.
Yeah,
know?
But the funny thing about that is legally they're already required to know that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is, I know, you talked about that in the last show, that there is a something in the rules that say all parties, you know, have the right to know. And one of the things is that we've heard with that is that if an owner-operator happens to bring that up to a broker that isn't willing to disclose that kind of information, that the broker will just say something like, oh, that's been taken already, or just to brush them off because they don't want to disclose it. And,
yeah,
you know, you wonder, you know, why. But anyway, it's a new concept. We're looking forward to meeting some pretty great people there. We've already spoken to a couple. So, you know, it'll be a nice cruise. I mean, we were thinking about surprising everybody just going to GATS because we usually don't go together. And but then this came up, and we thought, okay, I think we're going to go to this. So anyway, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great, and love to have anybody that can make it. You know, it's in September. And I posted it up in the chat room, but you can go to industry@sea.com and read all about it. And hopefully you could join us as well, and we'd be glad to meet you there. And if you want more information, you can call Kevin Ray, that's R-E-A, Kevin Ray at 954-253-5049. That's the Industry at Sea conference coming up in September, and hope to see you there. So, anyway, Donnie, we want to keep on rolling here. Let's grab a let me grab a caller here. Let's see. I think I know who that is, but just in case, let me make sure I get it right here. Okay, so we'll go to open it up. Anything Goes Trucking open forum from a caller from Texas, area code 210. Welcome to the show.
Hey, this is Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, I knew it was you when he said 210.
Yeah, I mean, how many other callers do you have from San Antonio, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty varied.
Well, actually, I get a lot of 210s up there, but they're listening. But I, you know, and I don't ever memorize the rest of the number. But you know, it's. But I had a feeling that was you.
Yeah, I was going to say, all you have to do is dial 210 Big Brick, and that'll be me, right?
yeah,
that's it.
Hey, what's going on? Where are you at?
I'm over here in K-Town right now, just trying to keep my ass out of trouble. I mean, yeah, traffic's been a freaking mess on 75 today, man. It's like I'm just trying so hard not to totally bastardize your show right now with all the expletives I was barking out of my mouth after driving this crap all day. Oh, my God.
Where did you say you were?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Last time I looked, boy, you get around.
Yeah, actually, if the plastic Wonder Chicken holds together, I do cover some ground.
Yeah.
I mean, if it doesn't break down, I was just up in upstate New York yesterday. I'm already over here now, and I'll be down in Atlanta doing the Redneck 500 here probably tonight.
What's a Redneck 500?
Loop 285 around Atlanta. The way people drive out there to act like they're NASCAR race.
Oh, okay.
Therefore, that's why I named it the Redneck 500.
Okay. I saw that on Facebook, and I didn't know what it was, and I thought, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, well, some of us name our stuff. I mean, Debbie knows exactly what I'm talking about. So, yeah, she, anytime either one of us get on that loop, we're always having fun visiting ourselves in some kind of a beast and ghost sort of race, I guess, probably the best way I can explain that.
Yeah.
Well, boy, I tell you, that 285 loop around Atlanta, man, I have seen some horrendous crashes on that thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was chatting with the Atlanta police officer one night, and he was telling me that it's not uncommon for him to clock about four or five people in one shift doing over 100 miles an hour on that loop.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That's the way people drive over there, you know. I mean, of course, you have a lot of people from all over the place about their bad driving habits. So they're not just people from the area, but people from all over, actually. So I really can't blame it on the people from Georgia. It's people from everywhere that get into that frame of mind, and anything goes, basically.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. I mean, there's been very few times I've been running around the 285 where I haven't seen a fire, some big major crash, a shutdown. It's unbelievable. So I'm glad I'm not up there anymore. I'll just leave it to you.
Oh, yeah, trust me. Well, it keeps my day exciting whenever I have to drive through there. I mean, all I can say is thank God for having a dash cam on board, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those things are great.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me.
I'm running two of them, actually. So, I won't say that way. If one goes down, I've still got something to cover my butt.
I hear you. All right, well, what's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just, I saw it was open discussion night and everything. I was going to ask you guys, did you ever get to see that video of that one truck driver up in who was in Illinois and supposedly pulled over a Illinois state trooper speeding and talking on his cell phone? Did you guys ever get to see that?
Oh, I was just ready to bring it up. I can't believe it. Yeah, we both saw it.
Yeah, we saw it.
Yeah, great minds think alike. I mean, what is your take on that?
Okay, Alan, you go ahead.
Me? Well, people may not like my take on it. I mean, I'm a former cop, former police officer, former deputy sheriff, and it didn't set right with me, you know. I don't like that disrespect. I mean, I can understand the driver's, you know, where he kind of came from, but you know, I found it kind of odd because I can tell you right now, the state troopers that I know, the state troopers that I knew and worked with, that would have been a whole different story. I mean, I couldn't believe how that trooper acted. I mean, the troopers that I know, that would have gone down in a whole different way.
Well, I tell you what, I've got the same sentiment that you do about it. I mean, the driver of that truck was a very confrontational asshole, in my opinion. And
yep. I agree with you.
Yeah, you know, and I think
the chat room agrees too.
Yeah, well, the state trooper actually. Well, thank God that there's people in there that see it that way, because you know everybody else is so biased towards the driver most of the time, and they don't acknowledge that a lot of times we'll bring trouble upon ourselves out here. But then one thing about it, you know, that state trooper actually kept a really cool head the whole time. But then again, like you, Alan, I know a lot of the state troopers out here, you know, and most of them are very fair-tempered people. I mean, they're the kind of guys that you can sit down and have a coffee with them, and have a good time, but you get on the wrong side of them, they know what it takes to make your life miserable, and they have the power to do it. So, I mean, it's just go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. There's just a break there, but I'm not meaning a abuse of power, but, you know, that driver, you know, sure, you know, sure, we all share the same road, we all share the same laws and everything. But I tell you what, if you've never walked in an officer's shoes, then, you know, frankly, I think you just need to keep your mouth shut, because I've done it. I've held people in my arms with their brains hanging out of their heads. I mean, I've been there, I've done that. And you deal with the nastiest forms of life on earth, and that is a tough and dangerous job. If that cop you don't know if that cop's going somewhere, and they don't have to have their lights on. When I was a deputy sheriff, I had dozens and dozens of calls, and the dispatcher would say, no lights, no sirens, because you're trying to sneak up on a rapist. You know, you're trying to sneak up on a burglar. You don't know what that cop's doing. And it just rubbed me really, really raw. I didn't like the driver's attitude and the disrespect. And the next time that driver is in a serious confrontation and needs help, who do you think he's going to call?
Exactly. He's got no choice but to call the cops, but I'm with you. I mean, a lot of those guys, police officers, have had to run code and not, quote-unquote, advertise the fact they're on the way to a call. Because, like you say, they have a situation they got to attend to. They can't announce their approach. So.
Well, you know, another thing you got to keep in mind, too, I know here in Marion County here in Florida, I can't remember the exact number, but, I mean, they have, like, they are so short of officers. I mean, you may have one officer who is in charge of patrolling a 200-300 mile area. I mean, something ridiculous like that, you know. And you know, if you don't understand, you know, you're going to get me all worked up here, Jeff, because I've walked in both shoes, and I didn't like it at all.
No, well, and actually, he honked his horn. At the
What was that all about?
Yeah, and to
see, I would have told him what he could have done with that horn. The cops that I know, that would have been a whole different story. But go ahead, Donna.
Yeah.
We didn't get your take on it.
Oh no, I when I first watched it, and I noticed, like, I was really surprised that everybody thought it was so great, and I'm like, I don't know. To me, it just didn't seem right, and I thought, well, you know, I'm not a driver. What do I know? And so anyway, I said to Alan, did you see that video with the cop and the driver and how he pulled him over? And he goes, yeah. I go, well, what was your take on it? And he told me. I said, well, that's how I felt, but I wasn't sure, you know, because everybody else seems to think it was so great that he had the nerve to pull him over. He was on his cell phone, and this is what he told the cop. For everybody who didn't see the video, okay, this trucker saw this cop speeding and on his cell phone and felt it was his right as a citizen to pull him over and ask him or tell him how, you know, why are you doing that? And
well,
what
the,
he did
well, the trooper ended up, I believe, pulling him over for honking his horn.
Oh, is that
That's
what
exactly,
it was?
I
okay.
believe so.
That's exactly what happened. And I, you know, because actually the trooper was going to write him a ticket for unnecessary use of horn, which I would have agreed with him doing. I mean, but then myself, whenever I observe a cop doing something wrong, which is very rare, I would usually get the unit number or the plate number off the squad car and call the police department's non-emergency number to report that behavior. But, you know, but it's not, you know, not that driver's position to play a law enforcement officer. He was not sworn in to be a law enforcement officer.
Well, no, and he doesn't know what that officer is doing, and it's a tough job, and they got a lot of mileage to cover, and you know, it's just one of these ridiculous things where you know all the drivers were hooping and hollering, and you know, same thing in the industry, you know, they hate brokers, they hate cops, but you know, when they need them, they sure get on the phone and call them.
Well, that's the whole thing. I think we probably never seen that mask on the back of his passenger seat. I can't remember what the name of that mentioned, but it was one of those people that hates government, hates authority, basically. You know, pretty much one of the those with the extremist mindset. And I was listening to another radio show yesterday where apparently another driver had a confrontation with that idiot, and he's like that with everybody. From the sounds of it, he gets like that with shippers and receivers, David.
Oh, if he's like that with a state trooper, I'm sure he is. But you know, I still just can't get over maybe that trooper. You know, he didn't look. Donna said, well, he might have been a rookie. You know, he didn't look like a rookie to me. He was a little bit older than that. But all I can say again is, boy, the troopers I know back home, yeah, man, they would have tore him a new one. It would have gone down a whole different way.
Yeah, same thing in Texas too, where I live. They most of
oh my God, Texas! Don't mess with Texas.
No, the troopers in Texas are pretty fair temper, but I mean, I've seen those guys. You know, they have some big strappers that'll rip your butt apart over there if you're on the wrong side of them. But for the most part, they're very fair tempered people. You know, they're like a German Shepherd. You know, be very fair tempered towards them. If you go on the wrong side of them, they'll tear you apart, man.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just thought it was really disrespectful and rude, and I didn't like it at all. And Donna, I wasn't sure if you agreed or not. We hadn't really talked about it.
No, I know. I felt very uncomfortable even watching it. So
yeah.
I'm trying to put something up in the chat room now. Nobody is getting this answer, so I have to put a little hint here.
Yeah, but yeah, that's good that you brought that up because I. You know, I got to take my blood pressure, you know, medicine now, but
yeah
I didn't like it at all.
I didn't mean to
make your
blood pressure go up, Alan, but go ahead.
No, that's okay.
I'm curious. Did you and Deb get to talk about it?
Yeah, we did, actually. We both pretty much had the same mindset on it.
Okay, so the four of us are in agreement. I'm curious, anybody listening wants to call in and say your take on that? The number's 347-826-9170. I'd be curious to hear if somebody thought it, you know, it was perfectly fine for that driver to do that and to justify why they think that.
Yeah, I think for the most part, though, most people that have any bit of a brain are probably actually on the side that we're on as far as taking that driver without a blind doing that.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. If he had even been more respectful from the get-go, you know,
yes.
Well, he, you know what I mean, and said something like, you know, I noticed you were speeding, and I noticed you were on your cell phone, and it's raining, and I just want to let you know that had that been me, you would have given me a ticket, and or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, he could have
well,
approached
I mean,
it a whole different.
That's true. I mean, one way I'm thinking about it is like, but unfortunately, we do have officers that do set a bad example by the way they're driving. But then again, we don't know if he was on his way to a call or
well, that's just
I mean,
it. You don't know.
Yeah, and of course, as far as using a handheld cell phone, I mean, officers sometimes have to do that. They may not have a Bluetooth handy, and if they get a call on their dispatcher, they don't want to broadcast over the radio where other people can hear it, then, yeah, he may have to pick up a cell phone and answer it while he's driving.
Yeah.
We just didn't know, you know, the details, and, you know, they don't advertise it, of course. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's I'm glad you called in about that because it was bothering me. I was going to bring it up tonight if we had time, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I'll let you guys get somebody else on the line then anyway. But, yeah, sorry, didn't have a show last week, but then again, we'll probably catch you next time you have one.
Oh, yeah. you know, I forgot what happened last week. I can't remember. But anyway, you know, I try to get them every Thursday, and every now and then you can't. Next Thursday, we'll see. I'm having a little bit of oral surgery next Thursday, so I don't know. We'll see how I am.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll do one Wednesday.
Yeah, we can do one Wednesday. That might work out.
There you go. I'm going to be on my way home next week, and Debbie and I are going to be taking a week off and going to the beach to get the hell away from reality for a while.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
That
yeah,
sounds
I
good.
We'll be... Yeah, you too. Take care, bud.
Oh, did you have something else you want to say?
Yeah, what were you going to say? You were in the middle of something.
I was just saying you two to take care, and I was going to go back on hold and listen to the show while I was driving.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Be careful. Hey, let's go to Colorado, area code 303. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Alan and Don, or Rick Ash, how are the both of you?
Hey,
Rick.
Rick.
Long time no hear.
I know.
Yeah, You know, I have to put a reminder in my phone about your calls every week because I listen every week and I just forget. And that's just the simple truth of it. So busy, but you know, I don't need to talk to you two about being busy. But anyway, I just want to comment on your last subject when you're talking about the truck driver that had the dash cam on the cop when he got stopped and so forth. I had a big problem with the attitude of the driver and the way he spoke to and handled himself during the process. But the other comment I wanted to make is I think the driver had a valid point but could have handled it a lot differently because I look at troopers and cops out on the road to be setting somewhat of an example for the rest of the drivers. And if other drivers see police officers talking on the phone, texting on the phone, or driving in a certain way, you know, that sends an incorrect message. And if you can't rely on the police wherever you are to be doing the proper thing, there's no reason to expect the other drivers to be doing the same.
Yeah, and I can agree, too. I mean, that's why I said, you know, I can understand where the driver was coming from.
But
it was just the way he handled it.
He was very rude.
Oh,
he was
absolutely.
Totally rude.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he set the tone of he had that cop on the defense, which really, I mean, supposing he was on his cell phone for business. We don't know that. Okay? And I mean, I don't know. It just bothered me. Just watching it really bothered me. And I see your point that they need to set an example. And, yeah, they do. However, the fact remains we don't know what he was doing. And we don't know if he was on a call. We don't know if he was answering a call from his cell phone. Nobody knows. So just that attitude, just hit my nerve really bad.
Right. Well, there are laws against commercial drivers using the handheld cell phone, but there is no law against a four-wheeler, you know, using a phone. Well, some states have, and then more and more states are having the laws that prohibit texting while driving. But, you know, on an individual state basis, there are many states where it's completely legal to use a cell phone while you're driving. It's just commercial drivers are banned from it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So we don't know what state he was in.
I think it was in Illinois.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what the laws are in Illinois. So
well, it must have been illegal because he brought it up to the trooper.
Okay.
So, but yeah. I can see the point too, Rick. But you know, walking in their shoes, you know, I just have another bigger take on it too. But it was mostly just the way he handled it, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. Well, just want to throw my 2 cents in. I'll
keep. Oh, I'm glad
here.
You did. I'm glad to hear from you.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Be careful.
You're welcome.
I hadn't heard from him in a while.
Rick Ash was our, just so everybody knows, he's a member of the Trucking Solutions group, and he's also part of Team Run Smart. He was our health speaker at the second annual Truck Drivers Social Media Convention, and we received so many comments, feedback of how much they enjoyed his presentation on truck driver health. So we're really glad to hear from him. It's been a while. And he actually attended both conventions. And if you remember, Alan, how on our first year, you know how the first year is, you know, you're kind of, what is it, discombobulated, you know?
Yeah.
And he was right there helping that first night arrange chairs. And
oh, took photos?
Took photos.
Yeah, it was a great guy.
So we really appreciate Rick.
Gave a great presentation the second year on
mm-hmm.
health.
Mm-hmm.
On health, as a matter of fact. So.
Yep.
So, hey, I think you got a winner.
Okay. You know what?
I'm having to do everything tonight.
I know. I'm sorry. I was collecting wool over here. Let's see.
See it there?
Who? Well, tell me the person.
Tia Gee.
Oh, okay. So we have a winner. Perfect. Congratulations. We have a winner on the answer for the question. It was, who was the MC for the Overdrive's Red Eye Radio Trucker Talent Search? Who's going to be the MC this year at Dallas at GATS? And the answer is Tony Justice. And so you win a Tony Justice Apple Pie Moonshine CD. You can get with us. You can either send us a little private thing in the chat room, or go to Facebook and just let us know what your what address you have. You can also send it to info@truthabouttrucking.com, and I'll post all that in the chat room for you, too. So congratulations.
Yeah, so he'll get that information to you, and we'll mail it out and everything. So, you know, one thing I was looking through my notes here, Donnie, you know, one thing that was still, you know, a big ruckus, you know, a few weeks ago or so, at least a week ago, and I'm probably still going on a little thing, but this Ann Farrow thing.
Yeah, that was a big deal, and there's a lot of controversy on that. And
you know, she had actually talked about detention time for wages. And were you aware of that? I'm sure you were.
It was a while ago, wasn't it? Maybe last year or something?
Yeah, but she had actually talked about, you know, the need for drivers to be paid for detention time. Because, you know, I get a lot of emails and, you know, people say, you know, what has Ann Farrell ever done? You know, give me one thing. And you know, this isn't all pro FMCSA and Ann Farrell, but, you know, as far as the call to get her out and everything, I had mentioned before, Don, about why start all over, you know? Well, I mean, what good would that do? But, you know, she has stood up for drivers, and the detention time is a perfect example. I'm just going to quote a statement she made. I don't have the date here, but anyway, quoting, you know, Ann Farrell has said, driver pay and extreme loading dock delays have a significant impact on drivers' ability to be efficient, professional, and safe. In short, uncompensated delays force drivers to press legal and physical limits to capture a day's pay. The logistics industry gets this time free on the backs of the drivers and small businesses. Uncompensated detention time needs your attention because what makes a job better often makes a job safer. Now, the detention time was included in the DOT's highways bill, but Congress didn't include it in their first draft of the highway bill. So the discussion continues, Donna, right?
Right, and it looks like, you know, the industry's kind of split on it. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, want to see drivers get paid for detention time, and then there's other people who just feel like they don't want the government involved in all this, that every time they put their nose into, you know, driver's business, it always gets the shaft for the driver. So, and then on the other hand, you know, the owner-operators feel, hey, I'm already getting, you know, paid for detention time, and supposing they set, like, minimum wage, then I have to get minimum wage now when I'm getting, like, $30 an hour or $20 an hour, whatever it is they're getting. So, you know, there's a big controversy on that detention time pay. So, but, yeah, she did recognize that and brought that up. And, I mean, what I'm play devil's advocate here. I was a strong supporter, and I know you were too, for the Collins Amendment, which would remove the 1-to-5 driving. What is it, Alan, on the 34-hour?
The 30-minute break for the, you know, between 1 and 5 a.m.
Well, it's still going to keep the 30-minute break. It was just do the 1-to-5 thing and the limited to 1 hour restart. Of the 1-to-34-hour restart. But anyway, I was a strong supporter of that because it didn't make sense that, you know, drivers would not be able to drive in those hours. And that's when, I mean, I know you used to drive all the time, you know, during the night, and it would put more trucks on the road in the morning, and it was unsafe. And she was really strong about believing that they should keep that in there. And, you know, it's a matter of, so do you ask to throw somebody out because of that? And, of course, you know, people will bring up CSA and, well, you know, look at that, and, you know, that hasn't done everything it was supposed to do. But I think it's an entire effort and not so much just one person. So, you know, is it one person that you're throwing out, or are you going to throw out the whole FMCSA? Well, if you ask drivers, they'd get rid of the whole FMCSA.
Yeah, I know.
Along with Ann Farrow. So, you know, it's a big call. But to, you know, to start, like you said, to start all over, especially with the momentum going now, we had all that with the Collins Amendment and then the crash, the Tracy Morgan, and then people saying, aha, now we need more regulations. And there's a lot of attention going right now, and that's when you have attention like that, that's when people are listening. And I do believe the FMCSA is listening because there's huge controversy right now. I mean, they couldn't even come to any kind of an agreement, you know, when they had their meeting in the Senate. So, I just felt like it was just, you know, going over the line a little bit. And, I mean, we agree with OIDA on a lot of things, and this just happens to be one. And we're not, you know, big Ann Farrell fans as far as, I mean, we're not against her, but, you know, do we think she's doing a 100% job? Well, it's a tough job. And there's some things that you can commend her for, and then there's other things like this Collins Amendment that you won't. But I think that's the way it is with everything, with politicians and anybody in office. You know,
yeah,
you're
going to
agree some of them, and some of them you're not. So
yeah.
That's just my take on it.
Yeah, I don't think whoever's in there, I don't think the majority of drivers are going to agree with. That's just the way it goes in politics. But let's go to let's go to Wisconsin, area code 920. Welcome to the show. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alan, Jeff Clark.
Oh, hey, Jeff.
In the middle of the Ann Farrell controversy, right? The one reason I signed on the letter is she didn't say about detention pay. She believes that drivers should get paid for all of their time on duty, every minute.
Which is
true.
Well,
yeah, I know, but I mean, I was just reiterating a statement she made about detention time specifically.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
she might have made another statement that you're referring to later. That,
right.
Yeah, she's been constantly on that, and that's, you know, to me, I look at drivers' pay from basically what happened with deregulation that really took effect in the 80s, drivers were making $48,200 a year on the average, and last year the average driver made $37,700. And the main difference was drivers got paid for all of their on-duty not driving time, and they logged it as on-duty instead of what is habitual now of hiding it as off-duty time.
And why do they do that?
So they could drive more.
Okay.
Basically, but and we keep increasing driver capacity, individual driver ton capacity, and every time we do, we lower our wages. And that was sort of what we were bringing up there, what I brought up since the letter, and the reason I signed on to the letter was because I want to see wages. I'd rather see wages go up than miles go up.
Well, of course. I mean, it's like asking, you know, do you want to work more hours to make the same pay? I mean, if you had a choice, Jeff, between working 8 hours and 10 hours or 12 hours or whatever it is and getting the same pay, which would you choose, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, an 8-hour day sounds like a dream in this business. You know,
what
but,
is it?
An 8-hour day would seem like a dream in this business.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
But, you know, everybody's fighting for more hours so that they can make more money when, you know, really just make more money.
and it's really come down to where they've got us by the year, and they, you know, and we're trying to live paycheck to paycheck, and we see working more hours as a way to make next month's rent, but over the long haul, we've really been hurting ourselves as far as our income.
Now, how would all this affect owner-operators?
Now, when you say owner-operator, you mean independents?
Yeah, I get the terms confused.
Yeah, I think what will happen is that if company drivers / employees get covered by Federal Labor Standards Act and start getting paid by the hour, what it will serve to do is two things. It'll separate time on the dock from driving time, and what that does is makes people more aware of driving of time on the dock, and therefore they'll try to reduce it, the time on the dock. And the other thing is for owner operators, if company drivers can no longer work for free, we're no longer working against slave labor, and
right.
It's hard to compete against free labor. So I think it'll help us in that part.
Well, they haven't really brought any of this up in the transportation bill, have they?
I don't think so, no.
The DOT has asked for it now. The last article I saw that came out a couple
They're
days
asking
ago.
For it, but the Senate hasn't brought it up. Congress isn't, right?
No. Congress is the uphill battle. Congress had exempted us in 1938, and they exempted over the road. They're basically interstate workers for exempted for fair labor standards. And that's the problem. If I work for my company and work inside the state of Wisconsin, I get paid for a minute of my time. But since I leave Wisconsin, I don't.
Well, you had an interesting comment you had on Facebook. What did you say that, hold on, let me see if what I have in my notes here.
Yeah, I'd like to get Rick's point, get Rick's view on, does he believe that detention time should be mandated?
Oh, yeah.
So
I know you do.
Yeah. I mean, I know you do too. But I was just getting you talking. I need to get you talking because I'm walking in here getting me a cup of coffee.
I had a piece in Labline magazine this month, an op-ed piece on. It's funny, everybody thinks that I hate OIDA, and OIDA hates me. There I have an op-ed piece in OIDA in Labline this month. So that's really not true either. I think that we had one disagreement and. Trust me, the lines of communication between me and OIDA are open. And
well, of course.
They're a good organization.
Of course.
Yeah, they are.
Just because you don't agree 100% of the time, no matter, I mean, I think it's a good thing to have healthy, open debate and different ways of looking at things. And we're against the grain a lot of times. And it doesn't mean you don't, like the people. It just means I don't agree, and this is America, and that's what's so beautiful about it. But you had brought up on Facebook, I believe it was, that your theory would be drivers should be paid for all time on duty, 80% of their mileage, rate at 55 miles per hour. So just doing a little bit of math here, that would probably come out to about, like, if you're making 36 cents a mile, what, about 16 cents an hour? $16 an hour?
Something in that neighborhood. It's basically based on the LTL model. A lot of the LTL carriers, what they'll do, especially in their line haul operations, the drivers will get paid by the mile, and then when they're not driving, they get paid for all their on duty, from fueling to dropping and hooking to any dock work they do. And they get paid slightly less than they do for driving because the theory is that then they'll hustle a little bit and they won't lollygag on their dock work in order to fatten their paycheck. And also I think drivers have a tendency to want to drive rather than do dock work. But putting it at 80% takes away the temptation to log it as off-duty and just try to accumulate driving hours.
Sure, and this is all tied in with the ELDs and everything because, a lot of people are, they don't want the ELD because they won't get as many hours and miles. So this would kind of, take care of that. I mean, if you're making the same money, do you really care, And that was the point you just brought up. I mean, who cares?
If it would take away the need for the matter of fact, I think what would happen then is people just wouldn't care if they had the ELD or not.
No.
One way or the other, because it's no longer able to hide. You no longer have the incentive to hide your work. And the average driver now gives away about 20 hours a week on duty. That's at work not getting paid.
Yeah, of course, ATA, they say, this will take away from all the paperwork, that they have to do and that they don't get paid for and all this. So, I mean, everybody's got an answer for something. Of course, OIDA, what's their argument, that it still doesn't take care of harassment? I thought that harassment was addressed by FMCSA, but evidently
There's some really bad companies out there. And, you know, I run a people net, and I don't get calls in the middle when I'm in the sleeper berth. They don't call, you know, nothing comes through when I'm in the sleeper berth. It'll come through if I'm off duty, but it won't come through if I'm in the sleeper berth. And there's always going to be company abuses to EOD. They call you on the phone, and, you know, they've coerced us forever. You know, now we just have limits on how much they can coerce us. You know, it used to be, you know, a badge of honor if you could cover 1,000 miles in a day. It's really not so much anymore. And that's the East Coast. I don't know what it would have been in the West Coast.
So you're saying that I must have missed what you were saying, the last point you made.
That the EODs, what OIDA has is a good point, that drivers, that thing, we need to stop companies from harassing drivers and coercing them to break hours of service and waking them up in the middle of the night.
Right.
That's really not the function of the ELD. That's the function of the communications machine, which is quite often bundled with the ELD. But they, you know, they could also, back in the day, we didn't have phones. But you certainly knew what they wanted you to do. And, they, you know, they could still call your cell phone in the middle of the night if they really want to get you going. But, harassment's always going to be a problem, but I don't think that's a function of the ELD. It's just a function of the industry.
And most people, Alan, what is it they say, that the ELD is just the tool, but it's the HOS? I'd be interested in knowing from both, you know, you guys are drivers, and, you know, everybody knows I don't drive. what about they're talking about these HOS of 2004, which split sleeper berth. What do you think about that?
About what now?
You're in the chat room. The split, like they're saying, the old HOS were, was better. That
flexible. I like the old one because I just like using the 5-5 rule. You know, you could drive 5 hours, get in a sleeper berth for 5 hours, and you could keep rolling. You know. And I think the old hours were much, much better than the ones today. I mean, you know, you talk about being held up at the docks and everything for, you know, detention time and everything. And, well, you know, I see where drivers go, well, you know, I can put it on duty, not driving. I can go off duty, but you're still on a 14-hour clock. And I just don't like that 14-hour clock. I like the old rules.
How do you feel, Jeff?
Well, the purpose of the 14-hour clock, I'm ambivalent. If I can get us paid for all of our on-duty driving time, all of our on-duty not driving time, I don't care. That's all I want. The purpose
right.
of the 14-hour, the purpose of the 14-hour clock was to hustle up the shippers and get it so that if you got hung up at the dock, you couldn't make your delivery. And then it would come back on the shipper as to why he couldn't make the delivery on time. It hasn't worked.
No, there's no consequence. And, where's the consequence?
Yeah, the consequence is not being able to make the delivery, but, you know, we've got, 30-35% of the trucks out here on EOVs. It's not a, at this point, they'll find somebody that'll make the delivery.
Right.
And to me, the consequence is always follow the money. And if they have to pay for your dock time, all of a sudden your dock time will decrease. And also I think what will happen, too, is they're going to start hiring more forklift drivers. We've all gone to grocery warehouses where the back end of the dock, and it said, well, we can't unload you, and you look and you see why, because the dock isn't clear. The dock isn't clear because they don't have enough people to clear the dock. I think what will start happening if they have to start paying for our time is they're going to have to hire more people. And
right.
Hiring more people is a good thing.
Right. Well. I don't know. How do you guys, you, Alan?
Okay. Then I got another caller.
Okay. How do you think this is gonna? I'm curious. How do you think this is gonna play out? You think? What's your gut feeling with the wages, the ELD? You think it's all tied together? You think drivers are eventually gonna get paid for all their time? I guess that's the bottom line.
I think this week we've really raised awareness on it, and that's the
right.
first step. And I think what
that's
if,
what I
you know, and what's going to happen in you know in my dream scenario is that eventually some company in the recruiting wars is going to say, hey, here's what we'll do to recruit you. We'll pay for all your on-duty, not driving time. And then
right.
they're going to win the recruiting wars. That's the way I'd like it to go. And also, I would like to see it codified that over-the-road drivers would be covered by Fair Labor Standards Act.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we'll see how it plays out. I think the fact that, you know, everybody keeps talking about it and bringing it up and don't let it go away, and that's the only way it's going to happen, you know, in the trucking forums, and just keep it out there, or people forget. It gets replaced by other things.
I was just thinking, too, I agree with Jeff as well, because, I mean, the awareness thing is a big thing, Donna. We've talked about that before. And wasn't there a senator or a congressman that just came out and said the same thing, that he believed drivers should get paid?
I remember hearing something about that, too. So
that's the awareness, you know, and that's the first step, just like Jeff said. Hey, thanks, Jeff. I'm kind of watching the time here. We're kind of rolling down, but appreciate you calling in and, you know, keep in touch. And always good to hear from you. Probably be our last caller here. North Dakota, area code 701. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Alan. Hey, Donna.
Hey, who's
Deb.
This?
It's Deb.
Debbie.
Is it Deb? Oh, okay. What do you have, laryngitis?
No, I stopped to take a nap and to get off I-10 here because traffic just sucks.
Oh, okay.
What's going on?
I don't know. I think that one other thing that needs to be mentioned, too, is that not only with the awareness, but also that there's other organizations out there that would support that, like Pat the Crash. As much as they seem to want to be the pet whipping boy for the truck industry, I think we need to look at what they're supporting us in as well as what they're against us for.
Well, you know, we brought that up. I think that was a topic of conversation in the last show, that if you looked at some of the things they were supporting, they were asking, you know, for higher wage or paid, you know, for all not driving on duty and things like that and detention time. Mm-hmm. So it was like they recognized the driver's problems. The only place that they're just barking up the wrong tree was not agreeing that 1-to-5 could really be quite dangerous if you have more trucks on the road. So I think, you know, they're approachable and you almost think they've got to have some kind of common sense. I mean, I almost wonder if even the FMCSA has to say, you know, they're right. But, you know, how do they come out and say, you know what, we thought about it, you're right. that's not going to happen. They come out with all these figures and craziness, you know.
Yeah, you have to save face, too. I don't know. I just getting paid for everything you do as an owner-operator is a challenge into itself. You need to figure out everything and do, you know, how much am I getting paid? You know, and how much is my time, my effort, especially with what I do with pulling a grain hopper. You know, there have been times where, you know, it takes me an hour and a half to clean out my hopper. You know, and now with new regulations with the food industry, the pet food industry, now it's taking time out of my 14-hour clock to find a washout if I can, and then to wait in line to get washed out. You know, you have to figure all that into your freight rates. You know, I used to be all concerned about a fuel surcharge, and now I'm concerned about a washout surcharge. You know, if I can do it as an owner-operator, you would think that companies would have to look at it. You know, and everybody's, well, we can't pay hourly because the drivers will abuse it. Well, you want to know something, you're going to have to try something else because what you've got ain't working. You know, if anything, go to a salary. You know, and if a driver doesn't perform up to your standards, you lower his salary or you raise it accordingly, or you fire him. But if you go to a salary, they're getting paid for everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a matter of respect. I mean, so the logic they're using is, well, they'll abuse it, so we'll just abuse them before they can abuse us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
You know, you're talking about an antiquated system that was set up how many years ago for paying drivers before, I mean, since when is it right to run by a system that is that old? I mean, you need to look at something. Transportation is evolving, and it's an evolving event, and we need to stand up and say, hey, you know, you're evolving our rules, you're evolving our regulations, you need to evolve our pay system.
Well, even if, like, just raise the cents per mile to compensate for all the time not being paid, I mean anything, you know? I mean, go from 36 to 50 or something.
Donna, when you're getting paid by the mile and you're logging by the hour, it don't work.
It doesn't? Okay.
No, you either need
I mean, if you got paid 50 cents a mile and
you
got,
still,
you know.
Still antiquated. You need to go to an hourly wage or a salary wage. That by the mile crap is antiquated. You need to get away from that. And once you get away from that, I think it's going to turn the industry around. And I do see it coming. I don't see how they can keep going the way they're going because they're losing drivers by the, you know, handful, day after day. There's drivers walking away.
Right. Well, it's just, you know.
Let me grab, I think, Jeff Barker kind of went away and then popped up again. Jeff, you had something else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I wanted to add to this conversation. I mean, when you think about what Davey's talking about and actually what Jeff Barker mentioned a minute ago, putting the e-logs in a truck actually would make it possible to actually go to hourly pay to where, you know, they would be able to know what the driver's doing and where he's at and everything. So that would be a lot harder for the drivers to abuse the hourly pay system. I mean, I've been running e-logs now for a year, and I know there's a lot of drivers there that don't like e-logs. The way I look at it is if the driver is in the habit of running compliant already and is working for a good carrier, they can run e-logs without being harassed.
Right. Well, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know what they're saying is to kind of check who you want to work for.
Yes.
Drivers should be looking at their SMS scores. And, you know, if they've got a good score, chances are they're pretty decent companies. So
well,
I don't know
exactly
if that's a direct correlation. But
also,
I think
one thing I've been doing, advising drivers to do, is go to a website like truckersreport.com and look at the complaints on certain carriers and note the consistencies that are noted by different people and everything else. And you also look at the companies that people praise, you know, like the one I work for. I love working here, but I mean, you just got to look at each company and figure out what it is that you're willing to put up with and what you're not, and go from there accordingly. I mean, it's just it's all about doing research. A lot of times drivers are just too quick to believe what a recruiter tells them, and then they'll go accept that job, and they get about 3 or 4 weeks down the road, they're already looking for something else to do. I mean, it's just that's what creates a lot of the turnover in this industry.
Well, there definitely is a turnover. There's no doubt about that. And
yeah, I just wonder, Donna, how many drivers, you know, outside of social media, even know about the SMS.
Well, you know, I'm not really sure. I don't think. I don't know. I don't know.
But it's all good points.
I think a lot of them do because I remember looking up the SMS for a long time ago, and that was before Facebook goes even around. I mean, you had knowledge of it from the trucking forums and everything. I think the only drivers out here who would not have knowledge of something like that are the ones who are not internet savvy. You know, and today
or the new drivers.
Yeah. Well, drivers, there's so many newbie forums where stuff like this is being talked about.
Yeah, that's what I mean by social media, you know. I mean, it's just a question, you know, popped up in my head. But I think more and more people are getting knowledgeable. And you know, go ahead, Donna.
Well, I was just going to ask all of you, Alan, Jeff, Deb, what do you think, well, Deb, you brought it up, so I don't have to ask you, about salary or hourly pay versus cents per mile?
If I worked for a company, I would want salary or hourly. I would not want to work for pay per mile. There's just too many, you know, your company sends you on a run, and there are companies out there right now, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's companies that are having issues with different things. And these are good, good companies to work for, like trying to get your truck in to get service. Well, if you're sitting around for over 24 hours waiting to get your truck serviced because they won't let you take it to a TA or Petro, or, you know, how are you getting paid for that? You're not. You're not being compensated for that because it's a maintenance issue for the truck. It's not a repair issue. It's a maintenance issue.
And you don't get paid for that?
Okay. No, some companies don't pay you. In fact, a lot of companies don't pay you for that. You know, if you're stuck sitting on the side of the road, you're not being compensated. You know, anything that you do other than drive the truck down the road that involves doing something for your company should be paid for, no matter how little or how big it is. And if you're not, even for the smallest thing, you're giving away free labor. Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, now, Donna,
In my part of the industry, I don't know about the other guys, but in my part of the industry, I used to go to places where I'd back into a place and they'd go, okay, I'm going to show you how to run this, that you've got to load yourself. Well, there's an easy way out of that. I go, is your insurance really good? Because I have a tendency to break things. And then I don't get asked to do that anymore. But why should I load myself? Why should I run their equipment to load my trailer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes absolutely no sense. I remember climbing into grain bins and shoveling grain into a bag trying to get my trailer loaded. I won't do that anymore. First of all, it's very dangerous. And second of all, if I get hurt, they're not paying for it.
Right, right.
You know? Well, so you have to look at your options. You should not ever have to do anything that you don't get paid for, even out of the kindness of your own heart. I know there's a company out here who does not allow their trucks to go to, like, Blue Beacon, but they have, like, wash bays set up at their terminals with hoses, not, you know, like a wash bay that you drive to, but hoses and brushes and stuff, and they expect you to wash their truck. You don't get paid for it, but they think that if you're proud of your truck and your company, you'll do it. Such a crock of crap.
Well, it's been so long acceptable. It's like like a brainwashing.
Yeah, and I mean, Donna, keep in mind we're largely talking about OTR because, I mean, like, you know, there's separate areas of trucking too. I mean, like for me, I mean, if I sit on the side of the road for 7 hours waiting for a tire to be changed, which I have done, you know, I get paid. So, you know, we're largely talking about OTR. So there's a lot of sacrifices that these drivers do that they just off, like I just read a little while ago, off the backs of the drivers. You know, they don't get compensated for that stuff.
And it's expected and acceptable, and it's a mindset now that's the way it is.
You got to remember,
right,
though, too. Again, truckers are their own worst enemies. We've allowed this to happen for so many years.
Well, that's what I mean. It's acceptable. They've accepted it that this is the way it is.
Yeah.
And now,
hit the wrong button. Hold on just a second, Deb. Go ahead.
I said, and now that we're finally saying no, I mean, I know that farmers originally started with the grain hopper to bring their products into the market. And I get that. But that is not the norm anymore. Your normal grain hopper driver is not just hauling farm to market. He is hauling everything under the sun besides farm to market. You know, right now I'm hauling frac sand. Back in the day, they would never have heard of that. You know, back in the day, it was corn, wheat, rye, barley, whatever, and you hauled it off the farm to the grain elevator. Well, it has evolved. Well, since the evolution of it, you still have the same pay rate. They still expect you to do the same amount of work. Like I said, they expect you to do stuff for yourself, and it's because of the way things have been. The shippers and receivers want to stay stagnant while we want to evolve.
Right. Right. Exactly. And we've discussed that many times, Donna. And hey, time's winding down here, Jeff. But I'll give you last comments here before we have to wrap up the show.
Okay. Well, Debbie is spot on with what she's saying and everything. And yes, there is companies that expect you to give away your time out here, and unfortunately, drivers have been taking it. It goes back to that phrase that a lot of people have probably heard me say for a long time now, line four should be paid for. I mean, if we have to wait around or do anything against our own will that pertains to anything regarding the equipment or the shippers, receivers, that's time that we should be paid for. We shouldn't allow ourselves to be used pretty much as free security for a loaded trailer or whatever while we're waiting for it to get loaded or have to babysit equipment or whatever. If we have to wait in line to get washed out, we'll get our trailers washed out, get our trucks washed, anything pertaining to maintain the truck, fueling it, pre-tripping it, post-tripping it, doing minor repairs, all that should be paid for. We shouldn't have to be giving away our time out here anymore.
Well, let me just bring it up to all three of you, Alan,
okay,
Jeff.
Real quick.
Okay. Couldn't that be settled just without mandates or anything? The companies just do that, and it could be a recruiting tactic?
Yeah, if we all lived in Disneyland.
There we
exactly.
go.
Well, the whole thing is, though, the shippers and receivers are going to have to cough up more money in order for companies to be able to afford to pay their drivers for that detention time. And, of course, the companies are going to have to pay more for the waiting time and stuff like that. And profit margins are already thin for a company. But there needs to be a lot of things changed, especially when it comes to the rates. The companies have to make more money in order to pay us more money. So it's got to work that way because, I mean, you know, shippers.
So they would just have to charge their shippers more. So what I'm hearing is a mandate would make it the same even playing field across the board because then everybody has to do the same thing. That's why they're calling mandate.
I mean, if you have a shipper call up a carrier and that carrier charges for detention time or any kind of layover time, that shipper is just going to hang up on that carrier and call another carrier that doesn't charge detention time.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I got
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That's why I'm thinking widespread unionization might be the answer in this industry. If we get the labor unions involved, then we'll probably be getting paid for everything we do. If you look at a UPS driver who might be out on the road, his truck breaks down, he's still on the clock. He's still on the clock waiting for the service truck or the tow truck to show up.
Right. Exactly.
Well, something's got to be done because it's not working, whatever's going on. And then, you know, with the driver shortage, people that's why there's such a high turnover rate. They just figure, well, this is crazy.
It's just the way it's always been. And I tell you, I hear, you know, it's a split thing, you know. Sometimes I don't understand a lot of the drivers' thinking, but, you know, I hear from a lot of drivers, we don't need more regulations, we don't need mandatory, we don't need this, we don't need that. Just leave it up to the drivers, you know, let us take care of it. My response to that is, well, you've done a pretty good job the last three or four decades, you know. I mean, nothing's changed, so. But, you know, it's tough. It's a tough situation, and I guess we'll just see how it rolls along. But listen, guys, thanks for calling in. My time's winding down here. Donna, you've got some announcements, right?
Well, yeah. Let me get back in my...
Yeah, get your tail back in here. So, hey, we'll take a quick break, and I'll grab another cup of coffee. Thanks for the callers and everybody, but we'll wrap it up here as soon as we get back from this short break. Hang on, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Truth About Trucking live on Blog Talk Radio. Alan Smith will be right back.
Heads up, truckers! Are you looking for deals on trucks, trailers, parts, or equipment? Or maybe you need to sell something truck-related? Well, there's a great spot on the web where truckers deal with other truckers. No middlemen involved. That's why we call it truckertotrucker.com. There's no charge at all for looking. And if you want to place an ad for what you're selling, it's just $19.95. And it runs till it sells. So whether you're buying or selling, it's time to log on and take a look. Truckertotrucker.com. Check it out. That's truckertotrucker.com.
Hey everybody, Alan Smith here with the Truth About Trucking Live, and I want to tell you about TruckerLawyers.com. TruckerLawyers.com helps drivers with their legal needs, and they specialize in workers' compensation, trucking accidents, employment law, and other areas but they never work for trucking companies. TruckerLawyers.com arms you with important information regarding workers' compensation and your legal rights, and they are also available to help you find assistance for additional legal issues. This includes determining how to get you the best benefits possible for your situation. The website TruckerLawyers.com is a resource where you can learn more about your legal rights as a driver. Feel free to continue the social media conversation by liking them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/truckerlawyers and follow them on Twitter as @truckerlawyers. Call them to talk through your questions at 1-800-736-5503. And when you call truckerlawyers.com, be sure to mention that you heard about them on Truth About Trucking Live.
There's a lot of copycats out there, but you know, there's only one. Truth About Trucking Live. Now, back to the show.
All right, Donna, we're cutting it kind of short here. Nine minutes.
Okay.
Total.
Well, I just want to announce, we already had it in the chat room, that our good friend, Tony Justice, is going to be the MC at Overdrive's Red Eye Radio Trucker Talent Show this August at GATS. And let's see, I wanted to announce the three finalists. They're going to be determined. They're going to compete live for first place. And the three finalists are Brad James, Jenny Simpson, and Keith Sampson. So those were the three finalists. We happened to have listened to all 32 of those songs, and they were just great. Everybody was really, really great. So it must have been a difficult decision. But congratulations to the finalists, and congratulations to Tony Justice for emceeing the event. I want to bring up something that everybody needs to hear. It's Health HR 4432. It's called the Bill, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act of 2014. Now, when you hear that, you think, oh, good, they're finally going to label foods. Not so. Okay? This is Health HR 4432. It's actually to discourage labeling, but as we all know, a lot of times bills are labeled and titled to be very misleading, and then people don't read what it really means. And basically, what this is actually, the grocery manufacturers, along with the allies like Monsanto and Dow, have teamed up, and Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas has introduced this federal bill, which would deny your right to know what is in your food. And what they're calling, you say, well, how can they do that? They're saying the bill, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. Well, the thing they're calling safe is the GMOs, and the research is coming in by the ton of how unsafe these foods are. To give you an example, I don't know if anybody's heard of this, but Russia has just called actually people growing or doing things with the GMOs an act of terrorism. So that gives you an idea. China doesn't want them. How many, 30, the Europe doesn't want them. We're the only country that wants to hide this information. So what they really are calling the people against this act, they're calling it denying Americans the right to know, the Dark Act. So keep this in your mind. Call your congressmen and senators and tell them that you are against H.R. 4432. The bill, it's called the Safe and Accurate Food Label Act, and it's anything but safe and accurate. So that's pretty much what I wanted to share with everybody tonight. They can just Google Health HR 4432, and you'll read about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty scary, isn't it?
It is scary.
Well, they try to sneak that stuff in there.
Well,
and, you know, you're the health watchdog here.
Well, you know, I even looked at the bill, and it's so confusing, even in the bill.
Yeah.
That you might think that it was to label foods correctly. But
well, that's how they do it. They sneak it in there.
Well, that's how when it's Monsanto and Dow getting their lawyers to help write the bill, then they know how to confuse people. And it's crazy. So I just get really upset over stuff like this.
Donna's on it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks for all the callers. It was a great show. Great input. Those in the chat room really appreciate it.
be sure to bookmark us and add us to your favorites so you won't miss a show. And I tell you what, congratulations again to the winner for Tony Justice's CD, Apple Pie Moonshine. It's really a great CD. We're going to leave you with Tony Justice. You can check him out at TonyJusticeMusic.com. And this is one I believe from his previous album, but this will give you an idea of Tony Justice, a fellow trucker. So check him out, TonyJusticeMusic.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. Really appreciate it. Until next time, for Truth About Trucking Live, I'm Alan Smith. Drive safe, and thanks for listening.
I got two logbooks, I got records to keep. I got one on my dash, one under the seat. I got the chrome polished up and she's looking good. Oh, 600 cat purring underneath the hood. I've been home too long, it's starting to show. When I get that itch, Lord, I'm ready to roll. When you see me coming, get out of my way. I got a hot load of freight, I can't be late. I'm gonna make my destination come a rain or shine. In my suit up, signed up, get you there by sun up. Peterbilt 379. Got the wind in my hair and the hammer down. 1,200 miles from the guitar town. 6 days on the road on my radio. I done pulled 5 and 1 left to go. I'm the founding father of the left lane gang. Those slow-pole drivers driving me insane. When you see me coming, get out of my way. I got a hot load of freight, I can't be late. I'm gonna make my destination come a rain or shine. Suit up, signed up, get you there by sun up. Peterbilt 379. When you see me coming, get out of my way. I got a hot load of freight, I can't be late. I'm gonna make my destination come a rain or shine. In my suit up, signed up, get you there by sun up. Peterbilt 379. Suit up, signed up, get you there by sun up. Peterbilt
379. All right, fellow truck driver Tony Justice, Peterbilt 379. Check him out, TonyJusticeMusic.com. Thanks again for joining in, everybody. For Truth About Trucking Live, we'll catch you next time. Have a great evening.